Please rise. You may be seated. We've come together this morning for the funeral of William Rutgers, beloved husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and friend, a member of the Vineland Free Reformed Church. For this church, it is the second funeral in as many days, and the Lord is reminding us of our frailty and of our need to look to Him. Mr. Bill Rutgers was born on March 24, 1928, and the Lord took him last Thursday, October 4, 2018. And with Job, we are reminded to say, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Truly, we are thankful that you can be here for this service, and we commend you and your whole family to the Lord. Let us begin now with prayer. Lord of life and of death, we unite together in prayer in this moment, here in the sanctuary. After we have been already to the grave and laid to rest the body of Bill Rutgers, we thank you for all you have given to us in him, for all you have made him to be, for so many years a beloved husband and father, a grandfather and even great-grandfather, and a friend also. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us through him. And now we are here, and he is not. And as we could just say a moment ago, you have not only given, but you have taken away. Help us, O Lord, that we may be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we pray that you may also comfort and strengthen us who remain here in this life. Especially we pray for Trudy. We are grateful that she is strong enough to be able to attend this service, and yesterday as well with the visitation. We pray that you may continue to sustain her and supply for all her needs, for body and for soul. And Lord, also with some uncertainty as to what next for her, and where and how much she may yet regain of her strength, Lord, will you look after her? Will you be to her a faithful God and Father and a shepherd, even as you have promised in your word and in your covenant? And we pray too, Lord, for all of the family, for Brian and Mark, for John, for their families and loved ones, for their friends and community, and for us as congregation also, as we grieve the passing of Bill. We pray that you may comfort us with your comfort, the comfort that is found ultimately in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, the Lord who is on high, who saves to the uttermost all who come to you by him. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this time that we have together, that we share. And especially when your word is opened and read, we pray that your Holy Spirit may bless it, so that our thoughts, our hearts are directed to you, our Maker, our Keeper, and the one who alone can be our Savior. And that we too may be able to say, the Lord is our Shepherd, and we will follow him all our days. Lord, we ask that you may remember us for good and give us strength, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let us sing the words of the song, Take Your Burdens to the Lord, or Your Burden. You can find those words on the insert in your program, the three stanzas that we find there. Psalms, and to read together Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear Trudy, family, Brian, Mark, and your loved ones, also Carol and Fred, extended family, if my understanding is correct, it was this psalm that was the last scripture that Bill heard before he died. Psalm 23. It is, of course, a well-known psalm and a very special psalm. So for a few moments, let's reflect on it together and on the message of it also to us. What is it about? Well, it is about the Lord as our shepherd. It starts out by saying that the Lord is my shepherd. And that's true for every believer. Every believer can say the Lord is, may say, the Lord is my shepherd. But after the psalmist starts out like that, the Lord is my shepherd, after that, the psalmist spends the rest of the psalm describing what that is like. What it is like when the Lord is your shepherd. What kind of shepherd is he? And the takeaway, when you read the psalm and reflect, meditate on it, the application is this shepherd, this Lord God, he is so good as a shepherd. You can't find a better shepherd, even. There is no one who compares to him. For example, the way he provides. He makes sure that his people don't want, or that means that they do not lack for all their needs, for body and soul. In this life, no, he provides, he supplies, he sustains and strengthens. He's a fountain of good. He's a fountain of gifts and blessings. Think too how he not only provides, but he leads and guides, so that the course of our life, the course of the lives of all his people, is not random. It's not meaningless hither and thither. No, it is divinely directed. There is someone who is in charge, an all-wise, all-good, almighty shepherd. He provides, he leads and guides. And think too how he is always present with his sheep. He never leaves them. He never forsakes them. No, he is with them even when they cannot sense it. Even when they go through trouble. Even when they must pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Even then, you may say, especially then, he is with them. The Lord as our shepherd, he is so good. And still more we can say about that. As we work through the psalm, he leads his people to triumph over all their enemies, over all that opposes them. And he prepares for his people a feast, even an everlasting feast. And likewise, he keeps on following his people all the way through life with goodness and mercy all their days until finally and climactically he brings them all home to glory. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How? The shepherd does it. And the point is, you see how good he is. You see how through this psalm David is saying, look at this shepherd. You can't find someone so good as he is. But here let's ask the question, how does anyone experience this? How does the shepherding care of the Lord become real and rich in our life? And the answer is through Jesus Christ. Through the Son of God who came into this world in the fullness of the time he was born and he lived. And especially he served, and among other things he said, you may remember this, he said, I am the good shepherd. You can read that in John's Gospel, chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, he says. And when he says that, he's making a direct connection to Psalm 23 and other places as well. And he's telling all Israel and all who will hear with understanding, he is proclaiming, he is the shepherd. That means that he is the one who will provide for us, who will lead and guide us, who will ever be with us. He is the one who will protect us and prosper us. He is the one who will take us through this life, through death, into everlasting life. He will do it. And He will do it at the cost of His own life. Listen to what He says further in John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. That's what He said. And those words for Jesus weren't just words. They weren't just theory. No, the very reason He had come, the very reason He was here, was to do precisely that, to lay down His life for His sheep. And why did He have to lay down His life for His sheep? It was because His sheep deserved to die. His sheep, all the sheep of the Lord, they are not deserving in themselves to be His prized sheep. They are in themselves not worthy sheep of the Lord. That cannot be. No, instead it is like one of the prophets says, we are like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and that's true. We are by nature wandering sheep and rebellious sheep. Runaway sheep, hard to find, unwilling to follow sheep. Not holy as he is holy. Not righteous as he is righteous. And we should expect then only to be destroyed. But the good shepherd came to give his life for his sheep, he says. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he hung there all those hours. That's why he bled and died. He was giving his life by God's appointment and in voluntary submission to his Father. He was serving there as the sin bearer, paying for all the sin of all his people, all his sheep. Oh, he laid down his life. Now, as we know, he didn't stay dead. No, he didn't stay dead. What is more, he himself forecasted that. When he said, I am the good shepherd, he said, I lay down my life. You know, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And so he did. On the third day, on the Sunday morning, following his death, Jesus rose up from the dead. And he did so because in his death he had fully paid for sin. So that sin's grip was broken. Sin's penalty no longer applied. Sin's judgment was finished, even for every one of his sheep. And that meant he could rise up from the dead. And rise up he did. And ever since, and even now, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, this great Lord Jesus Christ, this great shepherd, he is gathering sheep into his fold. And all their life long he is providing for them. He is guiding them. He is with them. He is protecting them. He is blessing them. And finally, he takes them to himself in heaven. Still in John 10, Jesus says, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You see how safe the sheep are in the hands of Jesus the shepherd. What's all important at this point is that we too are his sheep. For the Bible teaches that not everyone is. And so that raises a question, how does anyone get to be a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ? How does anyone get to be a sheep of the Savior, the Good Shepherd? Well, in answer to that question, the Bible tells us that the Lord does it. He finds lost sheep. He goes looking for them. He discovers where they are, wandering or in trouble or resisting or running fast and far away. He finds them and he works to make them his own. He humbles them and he rescues them. He gathers them up in his arms and he brings them into his fold. It's his work. It's his gracious shepherding work, his free mercy and grace to undeserving sinners. When he's gathered you and me, when he's made us his sheep, how do we know? Well, that too, the Bible tells us. Jesus' sheep know him. Jesus' sheep know him, just like the sheep on the farm know their shepherd. They know his voice. So Jesus' sheep, they hear his voice. Jesus says that they hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep do that, he says. And that means that one mark of being a true sheep of the Lord is that you listen to his word. and you seek to live your life by His word. And above all, when you are a sheep of the Lord, above all, you look in faith to the shepherd. You say with David in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Maybe before that you say, "Lord, be my shepherd. I need a shepherd. I can't shepherd myself, and there is no one who can shepherd me like you can. Be my shepherd too." Yes, you fall, as it were, before this Savior in repentance and faith. You turn from all your sin and all your guilt, and you trust in Jesus Christ for your own needs and for your own soul. You know, it's fair to say that on this point, Bill Rutgers was not a man of many words. It was not easy to draw him out in spiritual conversation. Trudy, you were there whenever I visited. Pastor Van Amiden visited. You know this is true. Of course, it was not easy to draw Bill out in any conversation many times. He was a very quiet, closed man. So it was hard to know pastorally where he was with all of this. It was hard to be so sure and so confident. Of course, Bill also had his own struggles and his own shortcomings and weaknesses, and like we all do. The Bible teaches us that not only do the sheep know the Lord, but the shepherd knows the sheep. And we may trust Bill also to the hands of the Lord and to the care of the shepherd. But more importantly, what about you and me? You and me. Is that not always the critical question that we need to face at a funeral? Our loved one has gone, but what about us? Are we ready? Do we look to the Lord? Can we say He is our shepherd, my shepherd? You know, to that He calls us this morning. He calls us. I mean, the good shepherd Himself, by way of His word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, if we are not yet His sheep, He calls us. Even this morning, He is calling. He only can be your shepherd. And it makes no difference how broken you are, or how hard you've become, or how far you have strayed, or how fast you are running away. He can deal with all, even the mess that we make of our life. He can make us whole and new and good. He can bring us safely into His fold. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to be your shepherd too. And if you are here, and by His grace you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, He is. I'm His sheep." Then to you He is saying, at this funeral, the good shepherd is saying, "Listen, keep following." Yes, if you are alone now, without your husband, without your father, without your loved one, without your friend, that's not easy. It can be very hard. You miss Him. And other things enter in too to make life very challenging. But the good shepherd, He's so good. Just follow Him and He'll take care of you. And someday He will bring you safely home. Amen. Let's sing together the words of this song. Psalter 53 in our books in the pew, the blue books. Psalter number 53. The five standards that we find there.
Thank you.
This time we'll have Amy come forward and read a poem.
I'm free. Don't grieve for me, for now I'm free. I'm following the path God laid for me. I took his hand when I heard his call. I turned my back and left it all. I could not stay another day to laugh, to love, to work, to play. Task left undone must stay that way. I found that peace at the close of the day. If my parting has left a void, then fill it with remembered joy. A friendship shared, a laugh, a kiss. Yes, these things I too will miss. Be not burdened with times of sorrow. I wish you the sunshine of tomorrow. My life's been full. I've savored much. Good friends, good times, a loved one's touch. Perhaps my time seemed all too brief. Don't lengthen it now with undue grief. Lift up your heart and share with me. God wanted me now. He set me free.
Thank you, Amy. Maybe at this time, let's sing the hymn Amazing Grace, and then we'll pray and sing the last hymn. So Amazing Grace, found on the insert, the four stanzas that we find there. Shepherd of your sheep, we give thanks that we could spend a few moments together reflecting also on some of the last words that Bill heard in this life from Psalm 23, how you are a shepherd and a shepherd like no other, and we may know that in Jesus Christ and by the power of your Holy Spirit when we trust in you. And we pray, Lord, that you would make us all to be trusting in you, to be those sheep of which we read in your word that they hear your voice and they follow you. We confess that by nature we don't, and we need your grace in our life, all of us, and we need it continually, day by day. We pray for it, Lord, also now as we go from here, especially we think of Trudy, and she goes on now without her husband as a widow, Lord, that she may look to you, and that she may trust that your care will be with her all the days of her life. And Lord, also for the family, for the sons and for the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, for the extended family, we also think of Fred and Carol and all the support and Gerda that they provided for Bill and Trudy, especially in the last number of years. Lord, will you also strengthen them and give them all that they need. And we pray, Lord, that we may live with our eyes on the day when, yes, you will make all things new, and when to be in your presence will be beyond wonderful. How your word says that the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, will shepherd your people and will make them to drink of living fountains of waters, and where you, Lord God, will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We pray that you would help us, that we may fix our hearts on that glory that is to come. And we pray too, Lord, for your blessing as we leave from here, when we have fellowship together, and when we eat and drink and enjoy a meal. We pray that you would nourish our bodies and strengthen us. And Lord, that you would forgive also whatever was sinful in this service. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Our closing song is How Great Thou Art. And Brian, when you mentioned this, I think it was this one that you said your dad loved to whistle. And if you would hear whistling, it would be this song. Sometimes we don't maybe say much with our words, but we can say it still with our whistling. And that gives us encouragement and comfort. So let's sing the three stanzas there of How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
I could have everyone rise, please.